The Kingdom Series, Part 5, Gatekeepers. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19, 5-6. He stationed the gatekeepers at the gates of the house of Yahweh, so that no one should enter who was in any way unclean. 2 Chronicles 23:19. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door and climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. John 10:1-3. The article "The Sheepfold" illustrated the continuity of Hebraic perspective in Yeshua's words regarding a fold as any fixed residence or abode holding the inhabitants of a family. This is the kingdom Yeshua spoke of as now being within or among the faithful, those who keep Yahweh's words. And the fence surrounding that kingdom as being Yahweh's covenant contained in his words. This is the good news of the restoration of the kingdom of Yahweh, which Yeshua proclaimed as the reason for his being sent by his Father. As seen in the article "A Nation of Priests," within the confines of that kingdom are the priests who have bent their will to become servants of Yahweh's purposes. To become a true priest in Yahweh's kingdom is to manifest Yahweh's nature contained in his 10 words. Traditionally, we have been taught the gatekeeper to be the Father, Yahweh. However, the Greek word used in John 10 is thyrotos, translated as the English porter in some versions, and actually means a doorkeeper, a servant who attends to what comes in and out a particular door to the kingdom. This Greek word thyrotos is only used 4 times in Scripture. It appears in John 18:16-17 to describe a damsel left in charge of the door, and is the same word Yeshua uses in Mark 13:34, not to describe the servants in which authority is given to every man his work, but to describe the porter, the doorkeeper, who he gives the charge to watch who comes in and who goes out. Those who keep Yahweh's words and who embrace the life example by Yeshua, the high priest of our confession, are those who become doorkeepers, gatekeepers, to the house of the Father, to the abode of the kingdom of Yahweh. And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. Isaiah 22:22. The English word gatekeeper has its origin in the Hebrew word shaur, which speaks of a porter or a doorkeeper, one who guards the opening to the temple. The gatekeepers mentioned in 1 Chronicles 28:12 2 Chronicles 23:4 and 2 Chronicles 23:19 were priests set apart by Yahweh to minister holiness, which is separation from the world, throughout the temple of Yahweh. Armed with a passion focused on the things of Yahweh, they were the last line of defense from the outside world into the holy place where Yahweh dwelt among his family, Israel. Their role was to prevent anything unclean from entering the holy temple, whether it be ill intentions of plunderers to unclean rituals. These guys guarded the gates of the temple night and day with a steadfast vigor. It was at the gates where judgments were dispersed. These are the gates of the kingdom of Yahweh, and it is to the gatekeepers that Yeshua has entrusted his keys to his Father's kingdom to open or to close. So, just what are these openings that are to be guarded so closely? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father. Matthew 16:19 and Matthew 18:18-19. As the King of Yahweh's kingdom, when Yeshua says in Matthew 16:19 that he has given to his disciples within the family of Israel the keys of the kingdom, he is speaking from the Hebraic perspective of Isaiah 22 concerning his authority to disperse his key among the faithful. He is authorizing them to be the gatekeepers to the kingdom, the house of Yahweh, the holy temple of his Father. We have seen how with Yeshua's resurrection from the dead, that temple has now passed from without to within those who received the Spirit of Yahweh. The kingdom of Yahweh is now among those inhabiting the kingdom, those faithful to keep the words of Yahweh and to embrace the life of Yeshua. The keeper of the keys has the power to open and to shut whatever passes through the gates of the kingdom. In Matthew 18:18, Yeshua reiterates about how those keys are to be implemented, and the context of that passage is concerning behavior, exactly what the words of Yahweh's covenant instructs us in, the light of life, found in Deuteronomy 30:11-20. 1 John 1:5 tells us that Yahweh is light. Thus, his kingdom is a kingdom of light. His words are instructions on how to abide in light. There is no kingdom of darkness, only darkness. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. His words are the covenant fence that separates the kingdom of light from darkness. There are 10 gates to Yahweh's covenant fence, his 10 words of Exodus 20:1-17. To be a priest in Yahweh's kingdom means to be a gatekeeper over his kingdom fence by obeying his 10 words, keeping them closed. Now, there are two ways to look at a fence. A fence can be construed to be something that constrains or hems in, or it can be considered a protection that keeps predators out. Notice that the keepers of the gates on the fence, those who hold the keys, bind or loose in heaven, within, by whatever they bind or loose by their behavior on earth, not the other way around. It is by the outward behavior we condone, both in our lives and in the lives of our household, not an enforcement upon the world, that determines what we allow within heaven. If the gate is left open through inattention or abandonment, that is an open invitation for spirits of darkness to enter and cause mayhem in our lives. But as long as the responsibility for keeping the gates closed is maintained, then the fence is sealed and nothing can come to snatch us out of the light. The way we close the gate is behaviorally, by being obedient to Yahweh's words. Too many seek Yeshua to heal and deliver them from the turmoil of darkness they perpetually allow in their lives, when all they have to do is close and lock the gate on the fence. If two agree as to what behavior they will allow to transpire on earth within their sphere of responsibility, they are gathering together unto Him who is within. This is how the kingdom of Yahweh is defined within and then subsequently loosed within the earthly realm. There is but one sheepfold and one shepherd. Scripture does not define a physical Israel and then another spiritual Israel. That doctrine is born of Christian replacement theology, but is not found in Scripture. The gatekeeper is at once an individual and Israel. Both represent the whole community, which carries to its supreme point the mission of the nation, while calling each person to enter individually into that mission, so that it shall be the mission of the nation and not merely the individual. Yeshua also speaks in John 10 about those attaining the kingdom through means other than the door. The life he led as an example of what it means to be a true shepherd. These are the tares found among the wheat that are gathered up and removed. So how is it possible for someone to be in the kingdom and not be a priest? We must be careful that we do not engage in eisegesis, reading into the text, rather than exegesis, which is reading out of the text, when looking at the words of Scripture. To say that not keeping the words of the Father is lawlessness is correct, but just looking at the words written on the page of Matthew 5, 17 through 19 shows there is no mention of lawlessness in them. It says that those who relax his words for themselves and teach others to do so will be called least in the kingdom. But they are still in the kingdom. So how do we rectify colliding information? We find the truth in these words by holding up that information to the other words of Yeshua, not by making assumptions. Revelation 19:10b says that the spirit of prophecy, the spoken oracles of Yahweh, is the testimony of the life of Yeshua. What else then does Yeshua say about this situation? In Matthew 13:36 through 43, are found these words from Yeshua: "The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and lawbreakers." Now, apparently, there will be sin and lawbreakers in the kingdom until the end of the age. These are the tares spoken of in that parable. It is those who make themselves priests who will be left in the kingdom to shine like the sun at the day of Yahweh. I dare say that when you first came to the Father, like me, you were a lawbreaker, someone who did not accept as valid, and consequently who did not practice Yahweh's words. But he still allowed you access to the kingdom to learn of him, that you might align your behavior to his words, as evidenced in Acts 15:21. He did not condone your behavior, but he gave you time to grow up into him. He didn't shun you if you didn't quite immediately measure up, but was patient with you, encouraging you to continue in the journey. If you were like me, you were still learning. There are all kinds of folks in the kingdom right now, all learning and all coming from different starting points, just like you and I did. But it will be those who prove themselves faithful to the words of the Father in this life that will be counted among the priests of the first resurrection, those who have been given the authority to judge. As we see they did in the first century, we should allow the Spirit of the Father to work on each of us to bring us out of darkness into his light in his timing. And that can't happen without exposure to the light within the Kahal. Yeshua became our example of being a first fruit, living in the world, but not of it. Those who would become his disciples should follow his example of life lived in this world. We read about Yeshua in Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous of ideal acts, not good deeds. Back in John 17:18, we read, "Just as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." As a member of his body, Yeshua has sent us to display the nature and likeness of Yahweh, just as he did. When we separate ourselves from worldly ways, Yahweh will receive us as promised in 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 17. Or what agreement as the temple of Elohim with idols? For we are the temple of the living Elohim. Just as Elohim said, "I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says Yahweh. Do not touch what is unclean, and then I will welcome you." Isn't it interesting that the Apostle Shaul, or Paul, Christianity's favorite person to quote as supporting the abolishment of Torah, uses Torah to validate his directives? These promises of Yahweh remain for those who maintain a behavioral lifestyle that, even though while in the world, are separate from the ways of the world. This is how we show the people in the world the example Messiah lived before his disciples about 2,000 years ago. A reader recently wrote to ask, is there any real validity to the idea of having a life goal or purpose? Because I'm still trying to figure out what that is, except to have a relationship with Yahweh. He has a point. Just what is the purpose lived out in Yahweh's kingdom? What is the hope of our calling? As some translations paraphrase Ephesians 1:19. My purpose is now intertwined with his purpose, to be a gatekeeper stationed in his kingdom to preside over every circumstance that presents itself before me moment by moment, right now, in this lifetime. This is what it means to keep the testimony of the life of the Son, to bend, to conform our lives to his example of life. Those who do so will be among the first resurrection on the day of Yahweh, ruling and reigning as priests in that kingdom alongside Yeshua because they have embraced life by exercising the keys to the kingdom while here on earth. There is only one coming mentioned in all of Scripture, the day of Yahweh. This is the mystery of Ichad. To be one in his spirit is to be Yeshua in this world. Just as those becoming priests in Yahweh's kingdom comprise the body of Yeshua, so Yeshua is the right arm of Yahweh, not replacing him, but exemplifying his nature. So the day of Yahweh will be that time when his spirit will prevail over the spirit of man. The spirit of Yahweh and those who have become him, Yeshua and the saints, will be manifest on that day. But with Yahweh, a day is as 1,000 years. So that manifestation has been ongoing since the resurrection of Yeshua, which fulfilled the covenant. In other words, if Yeshua has come to live and abide in you, has he not come? How long will that last before the day of Yahweh? Only the Father knows. But perhaps on the third day. Since this series began with Yeshua's words of becoming like a child, it is fitting to end with Peter's words. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. 1 Peter 1:14-15.